I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be here on Wednesday, middle of the week. Time to beat on the devil a little while. He done beat on us. We'll beat on him. Amen. Good to be back home. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank you all for, Bob and Luis did a wonderful job Sunday. So, yes. Good job. Good job Sunday. So, we praise the Lord and thank you for that. But remember this Sunday, boy, I tell you how different a day makes. On Thursday, you know, we announced we were going to Brother Jules, Sunday to preach, and he called and said he's going to have a procedure done on Wednesday. So he had to quarantine. He couldn't see one person but his wife until from Sunday or Saturday till Wednesday. So he called me and canceled. So we were coming to church here. Then Saturday about 2 o'clock when I got off of work, Brother Tim Calhoun called. He said, we're having a special meeting and the preacher can't get here. Can you come? So, a preacher in Indiana was going to do the two services on Saturday night and Sunday. It was an anniversary service for his church, and someone in his congregation passed away suddenly, so we had to turn around and go back to Indiana. So we drove up there and didn't get there in time for Saturday night, but we got there in time for Sunday. So we just went on over to Illinois and got our work done. But we're still going to Brother Hyatt's this weekend because we already promised him we're coming. So we're going up there, and I guess Brother Dale will be doing both services this Sunday. Brother Aaron,
whatever.
What? You decide. you make that schedule. Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday, though. I like this new calendar. He writes down what he wants, and I just read it off. Yeah. Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday. Hey, okay. Well, somebody, we can get in touch with him. And Brother Trevor Emmons will be with us the next weekend on March the 21st. Also, remember the time changes again. Like Terrence said, spring forward Saturday night. And hopefully they'll get that bill passed in the Georgia House Legislature so we won't have to ever change our clocks again. Yeah, you ain't kidding, huh? I don't like that changing back and forth times and all that. And then some observe it and some don't. Indiana never changes there. So when you go there, you don't, Arizona never changes there. So when you go there, you don't know where you're 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours behind. So, or forward. So I'll be glad when time will be no longer and we won't have to watch. There won't be no watches in glory. Thank you, Lord. But, keep those things in your heart and your prayer. Remember June 17th through that weekend will be the Father's Day trip, and also will be time for the sisters to go to Pigeon Forge. So just keep that in your heart and your mind, and just remember each one of these, and remember the ones that are sick. Like I said before, we got plenty to pray for, and the devil's on a rampage, but you know what? God wins every time.
Amen.
God wins every time. I already won. I was thinking today, I heard Brother Branham, you know, he says it two or three times. He said, you know, if Jesus was standing here in a suit of clothes today, he said, he can't hear you. He said, all he's going to do is tell you I've already done it.
Amen.
So why don't we take that analogy and put it to our heart and say, hey, it's already finished. Everybody's wanting a light and a cloud and a, you know, and a feeling and an emotion. I just want Jesus to whisper in my ear, remember what I've already said. It is finished. It's done. It's done. Amen. So if we'll take that, that's how we're going to take a body change. Brother Luis was talking about Sunday morning. To take a body change is not going to be, we're not going to have to get big muscles and we're not going to have to run a marathon. It's just believing what God's already said. Amen. And by the Holy Ghost, that's what we're going to do. Amen. That's what it was sent for, was to give us what? Strength. To give us the ability to get out of here. If you don't have it, you won't get out of here. Simple as that. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 9:11 and continue on eternal redemption. We spoke part of this at Brother Tim's Sunday and really had a real good time. People are real precious up there, really nice people. And Brother Tim says, tell all of you hello and God bless you. So Hebrews 9:11, we'll read that scripture again. Before we get started, we'll try to get through the fourth dimension into the fifth dimension. And I want you to understand something. When Bob was speaking Sunday afternoon, we were listening to it coming down the road, coming back home Sunday, and you know, you can preach all your life, and you can know the message. Paul says, unless you have charity, he said, you can even know the mysteries. Now that's kind of mysterious that you can know the mysteries and not have the Holy Ghost. Because that's what he's talking about, right? Exactly. But if you'll get the Holy Ghost, that means the mysteries become more plain. And the mystery becomes history because the one that the mystery is talking about is you. Christ in you. Not somewhere else, not in a book, not on a tape. In you, the hope of glory. Amen. So Hebrews 9, verse 11. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening that you've given us to come out, Lord. We stand here, Lord, as one that's totally insufficient. We as human beings make so many mistakes every day. Our thoughts and ideas get in our way, Lord, but I pray just for a little while. Lord, I was thinking the other day, you know, as you were watching over your children of Israel, you told them there in Deuteronomy in different places of what to do, what to put on, what to wear, the clothes and the blood and all the things they had to do. But when they walked in behind that Holy of Holies, it was Aaron, it was the high priest, and you, Lord. But you had made a way for them to get in there. And if everything was right, then you accepted the sacrifice. Well, Lord, we know that that veil was rent at Calvary. Yes, we know that we're now all high priests, that we can all come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, and give that petition, as we just said, that by your stripes we're already healed. Right. By your stripes, Lord, everything that you took it all at Calvary and took it to your bosom, and you destroyed death. But, Lord, that's been 2,000 years ago, and we just got to start believing that's already done, and not that you have to come and do it again. Father, we pray that you would anoint the word, Lord, anoint the hearers, and especially anoint the speaker. Lord, speak the words you would have to speak, Lord, and they will become true. Father, we know we got plenty around here that's sick. Maybe not sick as in virus sick, but Lord, many things. Satan is really trying to destroy our bodies because that's really the only thing he can get to. But Lord, you said there was a protection for that. You said you've already took those stripes. You've already took every disease. The prophet of God tells us every disease was destroyed at Calvary. Lord, we just got to be able to realize it, Lord. Well, let us realize it tonight, Father, and let us go on today as Christians, better people, better Christians in this world that's dying and doesn't know what to do. And Lord, they don't have a God. They have many gods. But we have one true and living God. And Jesus Christ is your name, Father. We know who you are. We know where you reside, and we know what you've said. Now, I pray that you would put all that together for us, drive away the evil spirits and the things that are trying to hinder us from hearing from you, Father. Just bless us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. neither by the blood of bulls and of goats, of goats and calves. I try to say that other scripture. But by his own blood, he entered in what? Once.
Amen.
Once into the holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated. Now that word eternal means a lot because it's eternal redemption. He's always going to be walking around in eternity. Now we're not going to need, listen, when we get over there, I want you to understand this. This is why I want you to see what we're talking about, because once we get over there, it's not like we're going to need to go into the Holy of Holies every time, and we don't have to even do that now. We don't have to come boldly to the throne of grace when we get into the new city. We are the grace. We don't have to beg forgiveness. That's going to be hard for humans to see because you and I are built on, I was thinking about this the other day, you and I are built on believing what somebody's done that we have not seen who he is. But when we get to that future home, we're going to see the man that took my sin. We're going to see, and we'll be with him for how long? For an eternity. And every time he raises his hands and every time he shakes your hand or every time he walks up to you, you're going to see the nail scars. You're going to see the prints in his hand and you're going to see the prints in his feet. And you know what? You may not remember all the things that happened while you were here, but I'll promise you, you're going to remember that. And you're going to remember that that man, that M-A-N, came down here to take on a body to be marred and scarred so that you and I can go to glory and not have a scarred body. If you have an operation today, if you've had an operation today, you won't have a scar over there. Your bone's not going to have a crack in it. Your teeth are not going to halfway be out your head. Praise God. But we don't fathom, we can't fathom that though, Bob. We just can't fathom that we're going to a place where we don't have to worry about time tomorrow. Don't even have to worry about tomorrow because there is no tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what we've done. Did we sin yesterday? Lord, did we make you unhappy? That's all gone. Folks, listen though, we've got to take a piece of that, and when the Holy Ghost came and broke through that sound barrier on the day of Pentecost and went into those people in the lakes of fire, that's what came. No more, no less. That's what showed up to burn your old nature out, put his nature in, and it's that same nature that's going to take you into the future home. If not, then you're going into these other dimensions that we're fixing to talk about. Where there's no hope. Listen, if you know what you know now, and you die and go in the fifth dimension, we're in trouble. Because we know too much. And it may be head knowledge, but you know what? I'd rather have head knowledge and then get the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost said he'd lead you and guide you into all truth. It just sparks what you got. You gotta pack it in. You can't just put the seed. You can't, I'm fixing to sow some. Listen, man, I'm gonna plant some taters tomorrow. Not potatoes. We don't do that down south. It's taters. Yeah. We're gonna plant taters. Later we'll plant maters, but we're gonna plant taters tomorrow. But you know what? They're sitting on my kitchen counter right now. They won't make one tater.
Right.
Even though it's a tater. Even though it's got a little bud sticking up about this far, getting ready to come up, it will what? It will die unless it's put into good ground. It will die and wither and blow away, just the parable tells us. And that's the same thing I was thinking about when Luis and Bob were speaking, that all of us together as a collective body, we must realize that we were lost. That we were gone away from God's economy. This eternal plan of redemption. Yes, amen. We were a part of it in the mind of God, but not down here. Because when those first three dimensions were set up, when Adam did what he did, it slowed everything down and it just absolutely stuck us in this place. But thank God for foreknowledge that he foreknew all that and he could put a place that he could have a fourth dimension, that he could have a fifth dimension, that he could have a sixth dimension, one faster than the other, and even faster inside, because we're going to see here tonight in the fifth dimension, you got to be careful. The fifth dimension is for the sinner dead. But you got to remember, only the redeemed go in the sixth dimension. So where are you going to put the foolish virgin? You going to put them in a burning hell? No. You're going to put them in another place. Amen? I'm going to read you here where the Bible talks about a fifth sealed Jew, that they are somewhere crying, how long? Huh? They're not in the fifth dimension. They're crying, how long? Because we thank God for the opening of the seals. We know who those people are. They're sitting in a place. What about a cup of water in my name? They're going to be given eternal life. They're going to be part of this eternal plan of redemption. But where are we going to put them? We'll read some of this and we'll see. All right, so let's go. I hope you love the Lord more today than you did yesterday.
Amen.
I hope you love the Lord more. I hope at night now that we have so many people to pray for. I'll just be honest. I was honest with them up there. I'll be honest with you. I might not get the list finished before I fall asleep. But you know what? I didn't get finished a couple nights ago, Brother Gary. And you know what happened? 2:00 in the morning. Of course, I had to go to the restroom, but still, I said, oh, I forgot to pray for this one and that one and this one and that one. So, hey, you know what? That's okay. But you know what? He loves that. God loves for you to pray. We should be a more prayerful people than ever before. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So pray over everything. Even when you go in a restaurant or go in a grocery store and all the different things, you pray that God will protect you. We were watching a little program while we were up there in Illinois on the tube, and it was this man went around, just kids were disappearing right under people's noses, and they found out that he was right there in the neighborhood and he was killing those kids. And I'm just saying that you never know. We need to be vigilant. Understand that God will protect you if you ask him to. That's what makes me more. I pray for my granddaughter all the time now. You should pray for all yours that are getting and going in different directions and being able to go here and being able to go there and being able to drive a car. Oh, goodness. I'd give you gray hair. When a 16-year-old gets behind a wheel, there is mercy and grace, though. So we just need to keep praying for them. Pray without ceasing. All right, number one, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was supposed to be written before Moses. We already read this, but I like reading it again because, look, redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. So you can look back to all the different things that you want to in the Bible. It has to do with redemption. Doesn't matter what you're reading, if it's Rahab, if it's talking about some of the worst people, even Ahab is in that plan of redemption because somebody like Ahab had to be here and Jezebel had to be here there to type here. And that same spirit, listen, that spirit just come off of him and went into somebody else. Come off of him and went into somebody else. Amen. So that spirit, we're fighting those same spirits. But you know what? I believe you and I got something to fight it with. I don't think we're using it as much as we should, but we got something. We've got an open book to fight him with. There's no corner Satan can hide in. There's no word he can hide under, because you know what? He likes to hide in the word. With those two spirits we were talking about, that's where he likes to hide. He's not hiding in the honky-tonks. He's not hiding in the strip joint. He's hiding right here, trying to do what he can to defeat you. He's already got these people. Think about that, folks. When you go down and you look out at these people and you wonder, what purpose? Yeah. Brother Brown said cannon fodder. Yeah. Cannon fodder? But you know what? That's basically all they are.
Right.
Just take up space and one day they'll go out of existence. Please don't be that way.
Right.
If you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they ain't enough fire. They ain't enough atomic weapons. They ain't enough guns. They'll ever get rid of you if you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, because that thing is eternal. You can't kill it. Why did the Holy Ghost come for? To give you that assurance. To give you that assurance that what? We are part of this redemptive plan. Back in the back part of God's mind, if Brother Branham would have, let me say this, if he would have stayed there long enough, he'd have seen all of us. But I believe when he went in the sixth dimension, that's where he went. He went in the mind of God. Because he saw all the people that were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That had died under his ministry. Now remember, he didn't see everybody, just all the ones under his ministry. Alright? So Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. You know that redemption was, the plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed. Think of it. And I want you to think of that. Look at all the things that happened in the Old Testament that we would think, as Dad was covering the other day, that we would think that God should have went ahead and just destroyed David. Yeah. Literally a murderer. Yeah. And he didn't murder somebody he hated. He had his best guy right. The guy was so loyal. David was trying to get him to go home. Right? To be with his wife so that he could cover up his adulterous act. And the poor guy, remember, he said, no, I'll stay right here. I'm going to just lay on the floor. And I bet that grounded old David too. But remember, he still did what he did. You know why? Because he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If he'd had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that would never happen. But covered under the blood of bulls and goats, knowing that Calvary was going to eradicate that one day, that would be the eternal plan of redemption. Amen? God foreseeing and making a way of redemption before he even made the world. You know why? Because he knew he was going to fall just as soon as the thing started. All right? And he made this plan. He didn't, I was thinking about this coming down the road yesterday. He didn't develop this plan while we were here. He don't do that. The plan was already developed before any of this ever got started because he saw it all start and happen and finish up. And he says, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. Wow. You just got to make sure you're a part of it.
Right.
Titus 1 says, Paul, in hope of eternal life. We'll just kind of skip through these real quick. I don't want to be too late. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, who did he promise it to?
Exactly.
He swore by himself.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't ask the second person. He didn't ask the third person. He didn't even ask an angel. And he didn't ask Lucifer because Lucifer didn't care. So he swore by himself. He said, I'll do it. I was reading in Deuteronomy and I think we got some scripture somewhere, but it talks about that, how God said, I'm going to bless you. You do all this and I'm going to bless you. But if you do all this right here, I'm going to curse you. In Deuteronomy. Man, if them people could have just stayed in that part over here. But you see though, the plan of redemption though, because you see they didn't do hardly any of this. They did all the bad. But God had a provision for them. He's got them locked away in that fifth dimension. Thank God for a prophet. Thank God for the open book. That we can see that fifth sealed Jew is somewhere crying, how long to avenge our blood? Not talking to us. Not talking to Gentiles. They're talking to their brother, the Jew, that's still on the earth today. So that scripture is going to be fulfilled when we're gone, but we see it already. We know where they are. We know what's going to happen. We know what group's going to be killed. And we know what group is calling how long to avenge our blood. Let's go to Ephesians 1. You know, remember that. We'll go to verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him. Now, we kind of hung on that this weekend a little bit more. We were chosen in him, not of him, before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Boy, it looks like that. There's not much room for sin in, are they? There's not much room for you're not dirty rascal. No, he's already paid for it. It's already done. He knew whether you would ask forgiveness for it or not. He knew you would or would not ask for forgiveness. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look, having made known to us. I like that. I've been reading that a little bit slower. Look, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Us. The mystery of his will. Whatever that was in the back part of God's mind, whatever that plan of redemption was, wherever it went, wherever it fell, you and I can track it all the way now from before Genesis all the way to the future home. All right? And that, you know what? That don't make your head swell. That makes you dig a little more to say, God, have I missed something? Have I missed a piece? Have I missed a piece in my life that I'm not living this plan that I'm supposed to live? But you know what? He saw you do that, or he saw you didn't do it. Because you know what? As Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost is a very timid individual. He'll just let you continue on. He gave you the spirit of adoption, but if you don't want to climb that ladder, it's up to you. God's not going to drag you through a tube and pull you through a tube. No. It's according to you. But it's going to work to His perfect will, as we see right here. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, wherein He hath abounded toward, I like that word, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. I think God has fun. I think He has fun. I just don't think He's some, you know, we think, you look at these, the way man depicts God, He's this something you can't touch, and He's like, you know, He's just, no. God's moving. God's in action. God knows what He's doing. He knows the next step, so He's right there. Omnipotent, omnipresent, knows all things. Knows when you need it and when you don't need it. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, look, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one. So who's He gathering it into? The bride.
Amen.
He's not gathering into a church. He's not gathering into a building. He's gathering into one group of people. The bride of Jesus Christ. You and I are recipients of this eternal plan of redemption.
Amen.
And without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have anything eternal. There is nothing else eternal but the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Let's read Romans 8, verse 28. We know all things. We want to pray for Brother Joe on his way back, but Brother Richard and some of them are in the back. We thank them for taking over and doing the work. Everybody working together. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, I read my most famous quote that always brings eyebrows up like this, where Brother Brown said in adoption, he said, Jesus didn't come to bring you an inheritance. Oh, buddy, there was a couple of them. I mean, I said, before I make this quote, I know what you're going to do. You're going to do like this. Well, two of them was like, really? Because Jesus didn't come to bring, He didn't come to, you know what Brother Brown's saying? Jesus didn't come down here to develop an inheritance or to develop a plan while He was here. It was already developed before the foundation of the world. We just lost a way to get back. That's why He said straight is a gate. That's why He says, I am the way that, what? The way back. Not that He developed it down here.
Right.
He died to get us back to the plan that was already before the foundation of the world. I read that quote where Brother Brown said, no. God, Jesus didn't come to bring me an inheritance. He didn't come to bring you an inheritance.
Right.
And boy, like, oh my goodness. And I read the quote to him. I said, Jesus came to get us back to our inheritance. Because our inheritance by foreknowledge was before the foundation of the world. Amen? For those who He did foreknew, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank God that this plan doesn't change. It's a never-changing plan. It never changes. So you know what? It's not like, see, the devil will bring a plan to you and he'll get you. But see, if God works on you for a little while, He's got to change it. God doesn't. Satan has changed his plan. He's got to change his tactic and go a little different way. That's why he's so sneaky. But God just says, trust me. Believe me. I died for you, son. I died for you, daughter. Just believe what I've already done. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified.
Right.
Now we'll skip these two because one of them is on predestination. We've already been through that. Brother Dale's been over it. We know by foreknowledge looks back to destination. And then in number two, and that raised a few eyebrows too, but I read the quote anyway because, you know, there is a quote where Brother Brown said, you always were a grain of wheat.
Yeah.
You got to know what he's talking about though.
Right.
You got to separate the mind of God with what you were born with down here. Amen? Everybody got that? That's the whole problem. They can't get them separated. But when you read them, this quote right here says, in Questions and Answers 1964, after the seals broke, how can I take a kookaburra and make a grain of wheat out of it? Now, Brother Bram, you said we always were wheat. Well, in the mind of God, we always were wheat. But you a kookaburra. All of you, sticky kookaburra. June and I were walking through the woods looking for some, for those of you that don't know what a deer shed is, a deer sheds its horns every year. So they drop in the woods and we try to find them. And we did find one. But anyway, so we were talking about something and June looked and she said, kookaburra. It had stuck on my side. But it was a kookaburra and it was sticky. It stuck me. That's the same way you are. You always gonna be sticky. If you're looking for complete perfection, you ain't gonna get it. Right till the body change, Brother Ram said, you're going to be sticky. Your nature. As long as you're in this life, down at the bottom, as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature. But what's happened? Yes. Brother Dale deals with all these sticky cucumbers. But he knows down in most of us is a wheat germ. And if we have to put you in the grave, we put the cucumber in the grave. We don't put the wheat germ in the grave. And when it comes back up, guess what? By the transforming power of Jesus Christ, that's going to look like them downstairs. And it's going to be what? Full wheat. But there's going to be a group of people that this cucumber is going to be changed to a wheat all the way through from inside to out. And I say this to be honest, we're waiting on that. Because the Bible, Paul says, waiting to wit the redemption of the body. We're waiting while we're moving. It's not we're waiting. We're not waiting in a waiting room for the baby to be born. No. Baby's here. But we're waiting and not get ahead. How many times Brother Brown said many people go ahead of God's program? Try to go ahead of God's program. What does he say? You see scrap heaps of ministers. What? Trying to push the plan. Yeah, right. Trying to push the plan without what? Holy Ghost virtue, knowledge, temperance. I was telling them up there, and Brother Tim said he'd never seen it that way before, but remember Brother Dale preached on the Statue of Perfect Man not too long ago, and he took all the definitions, and the definitions that man has for these virtues is different than the definition that Brother Branham brought for these virtues. Amen? It took a prophet to do that, so now we're not looking at this going, well, now virtue is just being a virgin. No, that's not what he said. He said that's having what? Power. That's having strength. Holy Ghost strength. That's Holy Ghost knowledge. That's not the knowledge of man. That's not drinking alcohol, because that's what man says temperance means in the Webster Dictionary. But when you bring a prophet in there, he said, no, that's not what that means. He said, that's controlling your ungodly temper. Same way with all these others, and I really appreciate that, and so did they. Maybe it'll spark some of them to start studying a little more, because if you read all the definitions of these, it's just, you know, you really get confused. Because if you're born again, you're already a virgin in Christ. So why is this right here? That's why people get all this confused. But if you'll take virtue as what the prophet said, knowledge is what the prophet tells us, temperance is what the prophet tells us. Beautiful picture. Virtue is strength. Virtue is what? Strength that you give to somebody else. And without the new birth, what did Brother Bram say? He said, you write the check. He said, if there's nothing in the bank, insufficient funds. But remember, if we've got it, if we've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't out write the checks that God gives you. No way you can outgive God. So you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing. And as Brother Bob was talking about Sunday afternoon, that's why the Holy Ghost was given for. If the Holy Ghost is not given, we're just all pure cuckabars and we're all going to hell. But you can still be a cuckabar and have the Holy Ghost inside of you and be pure wheat. And listen, that's a mystery. That's what I was thinking about coming down the road. That's the mystery. The greatest mystery is that you did what? You don't do what no more? You don't. Now that old man, I remember he used to cuss. We had a discussion about that in the dentist office the other day. I gave him a testimony about how that I was going to say a bad word. And remember, the Lord hit me right in the chest and throwed all the air out of my lungs so I couldn't say it. Why? Because of that old sticky nature I was leaning to. I was talking to somebody in the world, and this has been 15 years ago. But God will tell you, He'll put you somewhere in a place you were before. And if you don't do something different, you didn't get different back then. Amen? But you know, I believe God gives you little markers along the way that you can say, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Now, it doesn't, listen, I'll be honest with you. I used to curse really bad. They still run through my brain. We're humans. Amen? Right? Let's just be honest. We're cuckabers. Our memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination has still got cuckabur sticky on it. Your soul doesn't. But see, that man, we need to let that man take over and he'll push all that other out. Now listen, we'll remember what we did and we'll let things run through our head. Listen, but remember, before you were born again, what did you do? You had a 4-inch pipe from here down to here and you just let it roll. Right? But the Holy Ghost has given you what? Or something to close that thing up with. Amen. And I thank God for that. But you can't help it to go through your brain. That's where the sticky part is. Brother Brown, listen. Brother Brown's not telling you you're going to be a sinner all your life. He's telling you that you're going to do things wrong. You're going to remember the things you used to do. But God does not remember them. And the Holy Ghost is inside of you. You didn't do it anyway. So what's he looking at, me? No, if I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I thought the Bible said, first scripture said, by His blood.
Right.
We have forgiveness of sins.
Right.
And it doesn't just forgive us, it eradicates it.
Right.
It doesn't keep going to God. Now see, Satan's over here trying to keep throwing it up. But you and I don't know why I'm getting on this, I'm not getting anywhere, but that, to me, that's the whole thing that's hindering us, is we just don't think we're good enough because we think like we used to think. Let those things run through your head, but let them run out the other side. Try to start singing hymns every once in a while. Start quoting scripture. Start saying, I love you, Lord. And you'll see the old devil, he can't stand it. But let's go to the dimensions and look real quick. Remember light, time, and matter. We looked in Luke 16. And I want you to see something. Now remember, as we spoke on before, I want you to remember this, that remember you and I, listen, in theophany form was created first. We weren't people. We were attributes. Because if you don't, then Genesis 1:26 is wrong. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. That was me and you. But remember, then it comes down to Adam, and Adam was a spirit man first. Because he could contact God through that spirit form with no limitations. Then he took Adam in Genesis 2:7 and put him in flesh, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But remember, it didn't do away or detach that person that he was, the spirit realm, first. In other words, like I said, it didn't change him. No, he just put, what did Brother Bram say? He put that spirit into the 2:7 man. The flesh guy. To contact the earth by what? See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But remember, I read you the quote before. Brother Bram says, God does not, all those five senses, you can fake them. Amen? Jim makes hunting soap for us, for deer hunters, and it smells just like dirt, but it's liquid in a bottle. That's a deception. It's not dirt. Smells like dirt. But it don't look like dirt. It's liquid. But man, by chemical, has put the things together and all these other scents that you smell and you think, man, I'm in a rose garden, and you open your eyes and it's a bottle of lavender that they've synthetically produced. But see, that's the way Satan is. Satan is what? He's an impersonator. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Don't ever depend on it. But remember, as Bob was saying Sunday, though, if you connect to the eternal, then your vision changes. You don't look at that woman anymore. You don't taste that beer anymore. You don't feel the things you used to feel. The beer can. You understand what I mean? So what's he done? He's just took out the old nature, put in the new nature, and you still got your five senses. So the five senses, and that's another eye-opener they had up there. I said, look, tell me how many times your flesh has sinned. And they're all going, oh, man. I said, zero. Zero. Your flesh only reacts to what's inside of you. We know it was born in sin. It was a product of sin. But your flesh is not what you need to worry about. Remember what God said in the scripture? He said, do not fear the man that can kill you. In other words, you fear the man that can kill the soul. Because that soul has got to go into another dimension like we were talking about. It's got to go through a fifth dimension. It's got to be either be in a sixth dimension, because it's going to have to, fifth dimension is going to have to stand judgment. Sixth dimension, you're judged down here. You don't have to stand in judgment. Look at this wonderful plan that God set up for all of us. If we'll just believe it. But we were made spirit man first. Brother Brown, I didn't bring the quote, but Brother Brown said now spirit so he could contact God. Right. So you can't contact God with your flesh.
Right.
Remember, your flesh don't contact.
Right.
Your flesh is five outlets that whatever's inside of you uses.
Right.
Amen? The inside man's the control tower.
Glory.
He controls the memory, reason, conscious, affects, and imagination. And your body just moves because that inside guy tells it what to do.
Right.
But remember, now that you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you grab water. Before the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you went and got you a beer or some liquor. You understand what I mean? That's why the Holy Ghost is the most important thing, because down inside of you is what matters. This right here doesn't matter. This thing right here is what's inside. Because what's going to happen? This thing's going to separate into a grave if you have to go by the grave. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you still got to go pick that back up.
Right.
And be judged for what you did in this flesh, not of the flesh. Because look, then you and I are in trouble. We all were born flesh.
Right.
We all have to carry this thing somewhere.
Right.
Think about that. We have to carry this thing somewhere. When mom and daddy brought it here, we got trapped in the first three dimensions. Everything slowed down. We can't go through a wall. We can't what? Contact the fourth dimension. We can't just do like Adam and control the whole world. We wish. With the Holy Ghost. But we can't. We're trapped. By what Adam and Eve did, it trapped us into the first three dimensions, and we have to go through time. We have to go, and time, listen, time always equals death. Cause there's no time in God. But time always equals death. If you go through time, you're gonna die. That's why there's even time in the millennium, because there's people gonna die at the battle of Gog and Magog. At the end of it, there's people gonna die. That's why you're still in the old seventh day. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've all been moved into the eighth day.
Amen.
Sitting in heavenly places.
Right.
Let's realize that.
Right.
Stop sometime and just say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for giving me something I didn't even want.
Right.
Oh, no, you searched all your... No, you did not.
Right.
Scumbag.
Yeah.
All of us. telling them that up there in Tennessee, we were all married. We all had marriage problems. We were born married to the wrong person. Born between Satan and Eve. Doomed and on our way to hell. But listen, you still got to take your flesh somewhere. It's either going to go in a grave, the soul's going to go to a dimension, but wherever that soul is, got to come back and pick that body back up. See, that's why God thinks so much of you. He's not going to separate you, but just for a little while if you have to die. It's not going to matter just for a little while. You're going to be in the sixth dimension, but you're going to come back and pick that body back up.
Amen.
That's why I do not believe that you're going to get a new body as far as another body.
Right.
No, you were born with this one. God loves you in this body that you're in if you're full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know why? Because you, the only way, I just got this. The only way you can show the world, the whole world, does not know Jesus Christ.
Right.
But you do. And you're the only one. And how are you going to manifest it? Oh, but y'all all born. Yeah, admit it. We're all born in sin.
Right.
But by the transforming power of God.
Amen.
He put the wheat in the cucumber.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
If I plant them taters tomorrow, I'm not going to get pineapples. But you know what? If God wanted pineapples, He could change the life of that tater and make it a pineapple. But you and I can't do that. But God can. And He said He'd change even the vilest of sinner, He'll change you. You may think your life's falling apart. Not if you got the Holy Ghost, it ain't. Your cucumber may be falling apart. Tell me about it. I've been to the doctor more than this last two weeks than I've been in my life. So anyway, but you know what? It's because we were trapped in this dimension by Adam and Eve and what the devil did. The devil had to come into this dimension to do what he did. Amen. Look in Luke 16, verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou art in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Now we're going to use this scripture again when we get into the sixth dimension, because according to the prophet of God, there was a space called paradise that the Old Testament saints were caught in, which is not the sixth dimension. Because remember, when we'll get to it, not today, but later, when the witch of Endor brought Samuel up, he wasn't a young man turned back. He was still Samuel. With the prophet's robe on, right? So going into paradise was just a holding place because look, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take that soul of Samuel and turn it back young again. Right? But now, when you come over here and you let the prophet of God go behind the curtain of time, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been given, after the sixth dimension's been set up for the people that have eternal life, then what were they all? Young people. Young men and women. Some people he didn't even know because they were, that 90-year-old woman was 90 years old the last time he saw them. But she was 20 years old in this dimension. Look at what God's done with this eternal plan of redemption. It's so perfect. But he tells here, says Abraham, because they did call paradise, look up the word paradise in the Bible, it's only like four times. But you see that it's also called the bosom of Abraham, which is a place. It's not Abraham standing there. You know, Lazarus wasn't laying, but just a story. Listen to the story. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that would come from thence. In other words, there's no way to pass between. This dimension is locked in and this dimension is locked in. Amen? Because you know what? It's the plan of God. Why would you everybody that dies, they just dump them into one place. He wouldn't be a just God if he did that. Because the judgment of what they done, like Brother Bram will read here in about the fifth dimension. He said that sinner's caught between the two worlds. He's caught between, he can't go back to earth and he can't go to heaven.
Right.
or the sixth dimension. He's caught in between that. Why? Because he sinned here. Right? The way the tree falls, that's the way it lands, you know. In other words, if you're a sinner here, now there's provisions to get eternal life. I know that. But listen, if you're Adolf Hitler here, you're going to raise Adolf Hitler and you're going to go to the white throne judgment. Okay? See, you got to have judgment. I love it when people preach on God being a good, loving, gracious God. I know that. But he's also a judge. He's not a granddaddy. He's a daddy. And buddy, if you get out of line, you're going to pay for it. And remember Brother Brown says, you sin a sin as a Christian, you will reap a tub full. Amen? Thank God for a prophet that could explain these things. And that it helps us in our everyday life, not just that, you know, and we glory that we have an open book, but just even to be a normal Christian, the prophet of God helped a lot of us just live through certain things, to get through things that we would have never got through if James Dobson, not saying anything about them, but just the big names, Max Lucado and all those different ones. Brother Branham's, to me, that's good enough. He's good enough for us to put our faith in what he said. Know that he is, he's fallible, but the word he brought was infallible. Amen. All right. So now we were on foreknowledge. So we get done with foreknowledge. We're done with that. And now we're on the dimensions. Now let's go to present stage of my ministry. Number one. Now when we come along, we remember that we live here in three dimensions. Now Brother Bram tells us what they are. One of them is light. The other one is matter. Tommy, you remember these Adam, but it's not Adam. It's time. Light, matter, and time, and our five senses contact these dimensions. Our sight contacts light, our feeling contacts matter, and so forth. In other words, we've come from now, we've all become, after Adam and Eve did what they did, we all come down to where we have to be born in this dimension. We can't travel between dimensions. Now, God can come into this dimension and talk to us. That's what he does. That's why I said, you don't get a revelation in this dimension. These first three dimensions is just a temporary place. What? For us to develop this plan of redemption, for God to develop it to the human being and give them a choice, and then after that is where it starts splitting up into the different dimensions. All right? Has everybody got that? So we become solid. We become light. We have to have light to live. We have to have the matter. We have to have some sort of matter to put this building together, to put the car together, to eat. You eat matter. All right? The things that we do to sustain this life, we had to have, but remember, it's all contrary to God. The light he wants you to see is the light he created before the world, before he created the sun and the moon. That's the sustaining light we're looking for. And also we're looking for what? The matter. And we're also looking for what? Time to be no longer. Time to be temporary, and then all of a sudden time will go away. Didn't Brother Ram tell us one time, and this is how strange, because you wonder, you think, man, poor old Abel's been dead for what, 6,000-7,000 years? He's the first one to die and have to go into one of these dimensions. He was the first one to have to die. He'd been dead a long time. You know what Brother Ram said one time? He said, Martin Luther, he said, when he resurrects, it will be just like he laid down and went to sleep the night before and woke up the next morning. Why? Because we're in time. 6,000 time years has went by. But Abel's probably going, man, when he resurrects, he's going like, it was just yesterday. Oh, thank God. I mean, thank God that's the way it is. Martin Luther, that'd be wonderful for him to wake up and go, I was only asleep, you know, just a day. It's like some of y'all are sleeping now. Wake up and it might be tomorrow. Saying no more on that one. Okay. So now let's look. John 12, verse 28. The reason I'm bringing this right here, though, is to tell you what happened from a different perspective, what happened in this church age. All right? That happened in no other church age that we can record that it happened. It's that God brought a message to a prophet, and there was noise, thunders, there was lightning, there was voice of God, there was a cloud. Everybody got that? The reason that is because God came into this dimension with a message. He came from a faster dimension, which is in eternity, he came to hear. Because look what Brother Ram said. Let's read John 12. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Brother Branham was standing on the rock that day. And remember, the whirlwind comes down over him and it makes all kind of noise. It bursts rocks everywhere. And he told the people to get under the truck and, you know, hide in the bushes. Well, when it was all over, what'd he say? It was just a bunch of noise to them brothers. They scared to death. And here stands the prophet right in the middle of it. Rocks going everywhere. And God's talking to him. He'd come from eternity into this slower dimension and gave Brother Branham a revelation. He said, hey, what'd he do? He threw that rock up in the air and he said, judgment will strike the West Coast. And in 1964, Alaska like to sunk into the ocean. That was God speaking to a prophet. Now you and I, listen, you and I, we love to talk about these experiences, but you and I are going to have an experience where God thunders to you. You've got to have a voice of God that we're, because look, let's analyze that just for a second, if that's okay. Because look, it said John 12 verse 28, it says, Father, glorify thy name. I'm trying to get this right because I thought about it a minute ago and I've lost my thought. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and glorified again. So in other words, he brought him a message. The people that were around him though heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel. So they were in contention about what was being said. Right? But who was he talking to? He was talking to Jesus. Who was the angel that knocked Paul off of the horse? He wasn't talking to the little people that was around him. Though it be maybe this guy was a captain and this guy was a good preacher. But he came and spoke to Paul. But now what did Paul do with it though? Here's the whole thing. Paul took that message that he got from God to the world. That's the same thing with me and you. That right there. How did he glorify the name? Look, I have both glorified it, what, at that moment, and I'm going to glorify it again. That means that that same man inside of a bride is going to hear a thunder, is going to hear a voice of God, is going to get a revelation that's going to take us into another dimension. Amen. Amen? And there's going to be people standing around you. How many people stand around you? Here's my thought back again. How many people stand around you on a daily basis and don't understand you? Don't understand how? Why? What do you mean you don't? What? It's God can speak to them the same way he speaks to you. But God has given you the opportunity for him to speak to you, but all the other people hears noise, thunder, see a light, maybe see a cloud. A lot of people saw that cloud. Millions probably. And millions have seen it afterwards. That book's going for like $300 a copy now. The book the picture of it was in. What does that matter? I mean, really. But you know what? It's a sign to me, though, that God came through a dimension and came down and give us a cloud. And that we can not just, it's not just, you know, that when we first come into message, you know, they was trying to pick out all the things where you can see the horse rider right here, sitting a man sitting on the horse, there's the horse's legs. Oh, and they were showing us the eagle and they were like, you know, oh boy, this has got all kind of symbols in it. That's okay. But did they get the voice behind that? Most of them did not. They got blinded by the light. And even in Revelation 6:1 says, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard it was what? The noise of thunder. The noise of thunder. One of the four beasts said, come and see. And we know that the next one is in Jehovah Jireh, 1961. We were talking about sound barrier the other day. Anytime the sound barrier is like 700 miles an hour, anytime you break through the sound barrier, there's always a noise and there's always a vapor cloud made by it. If you'll watch and see when Chuck Yeager, you can see the picture of when he broke the sound barrier back in whatever it was, the 60s. You see this big cloud. Now, it's not shaped like that, but it's a big cloud, goes all the way. As soon as he broke that sound barrier, there was vapor went everywhere. And the sound barrier, what? Went off. But listen, it happened because somebody believed they could break it. If you'll read the story, Chuck Yeager, they always get to about 600 miles an hour in some of the other test flights, and the thing starts shaking so bad they think it's going to break in half, and they back off. Chuck Yeager, read his story. He said when it started, he said, I still had plenty of throttle left. And he just put her forward when he did. And let's read this right here. Sometimes when you get a place, you battle. Can break to that sound barrier, as they tell me, when a plane is trying to get through the sound barrier, it just almost shakes the bolts out of it. But after getting through the sound barrier, it's all right. Then it can just run with ease. If you can just break through that static of superstition and things, then the Holy Spirit just begins to fall around like anointing and blesses the people. But so many people of today are so babied, so petty, little petty. What? They pull back on the throttle. When your world starts shaking, push that baby forward. Right. Break through that sound barrier and you'll get a cloud. And Brother Branham, then, is this a sign of the end, sir? Look here real quick. I'm going to paraphrase if you don't mind. You can paraphrase scripture, but boy, they don't want you to paraphrase quotes. Bless their heart. But remember the analogy. There was little bitty birds. There was bigger birds and they were coming at a certain speed. But remember when he got to the very last one, it was what? Angels. And they came, he said, they came from eternity. Let's go down to paragraph 205. But it shook the earth. Remember there was go to 204. First a blast. And I thought it sounded like a sound barrier. Ever what you call it when planes cross the sound. And the sound comes back to the earth, just shook like roared. Then it could have been a great clap of thunder and lightning. Like, I didn't see the lightning. I just heard that great blast that went forth. It sounded like it was south from me towards Mexico. But it shook the earth. And when it did, I was still looking westward. The way off into eternity, I saw a constellation of something coming. It looked like it might have been little dots. There could have been no less than 5, no more than 7. But they were in the shape of a pyramid like these messengers coming. And when it did, the power of Almighty God lifted me up to meet them. And they were angels traveling faster than sound could travel. Paragraph 207. They came from eternity in a split like a twinkling of an eye. How many of you have got a revelation? And it just shake your soul. That's God coming from another dimension. He's breaking through this slow thing that we're in. He's breaking through this cuckabur that we got around us. He's breaking through our memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And he's going right down to that soul. And he said, here I am. This is what, that's why I think Brother Branham, he was so happy. I believe they told him, go back to Jeffersonville. And these things will be told to you. In other words, there'll be things told to you that never has been told before. The book's still closed, but now we're getting ready to open the book. And William Branham, you're the only one that's going to hear it at this moment. Everybody all right with that?
Amen.
But he did get a revelation. And he did deliver it to the people.
Amen.
You and I. He said it went like, whoo, 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 whoo. But when he came back, I was reading in questions and answers on the seals. He said, I've never worked in a realm like this before.
Right.
Never, ever. And I mean, what has he been through? Millions of people being healed. Because he's in 1963. He said, I've never worked in, and he walks to the pulpit, never gets really excited. Millions of people turn him down, can't hear the thunder. They might hear the thunder, but they never heard the voice that was beside that. And that was the problem. They didn't hear what they were supposed to hear. Because what happened, they did not have the right receptor. They did not have the right crystal, as we were talking before. So let's go to the fourth dimension, which is the tree of knowledge, or science, or the fourth dimension. Now look, the fourth dimension can't be seen, but it can be manifested. Okay, it can't be seen. You can't see the fourth. This dimension you can see. Life, time, and matter. You can see that. Fourth dimension is radio waves. It's something moving so fast. Remember I was telling you it's 300 billion ohms per cycle. It's one of the highest ones. It can just go through. It can go through concrete barriers that are hundreds of feet thick. They can contact submarines that are 20 miles down in the ocean. Because what? It travels so fast. It breaks through all this stuff that we got. And gets right down to where it needs to go. You know what? That's limited man's ability. What about God? Because God, listen, God uses that fourth dimension. You use it all day. Telephone. Radio. Press play. You can't see his voice. You can hear it though by a receptor that picks up the voice and gives it to me and you. Let's look at number four. Now, but we have contact through science, the fourth dimension as it was, because coming right through this building now comes pictures, voices of radio, pictures on television that our senses do not contact that. But yet you have a tube or a crystal that picks up those ether waves and manifests them. You see right in this building now is live actions of people in the air, live voices, they're here. We know it. They're absolutely the truth. And the only thing you do, they catch it on, I don't understand the mechanics of it. Of these things that science has invented, but we know that it proves to us there is a fourth dimension. Look at number five. Now we have known there is another dimension, which is the fourth dimension, because science has probed into it and found it. It is radio. There's no senses of our body can detect radio or television over that ether wave. So see, it's not your body. Your body's just in this dimension. Your body's just to hold all your guts together. All right? Because you manifest for what's inside. Right through here is coming television pictures, but we have nothing in us, no way at all to contact that in ourselves. It takes a crystal. He keeps talking about a crystal. What is that? We, all of us older ones, we know what that is. That's a piece of a diamond. Way back when, there was a crystal, a piece of a diamond, a Victrola needle. Brother Joe pulled me up some quotes, and I didn't bring them with me, but I got them back there, where he talks about, Brother Brown talks about Victrola needle. What is it? It's a diamond that's cut a certain way.
Right.
And only that diamond can pick up that sound.
Yep.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Read this. It takes a crystal of some sort, a magnet, to contact that. But it speaks that there is another dimension. Now that's four dimensions. Number six, enticing spirits. Now this morning, we're going to talk about demons in spiritual form in the soul. They're in the soul the same as they are in the body. And we're bound to admit that we see them in people's bodies, such as cancers and different diseases that's in the human body. Now, I want you all to remember what Brother Ram talked about in 1955. Remember, he interchanged soul with spirit. He's talking about the spirit realm. If you're born again, you don't have demons in your soul. If you're sick today, even if you had the worst cancer in the world, it's not in your soul. Okay? It's contacting your spirit realm, and then what? It manifests in your body. Everybody got that? Okay. Talk about demons in spirit form in the soul. So he means spirit. They're in the spirit the same as they are in the body. And we're bound to admit that we see them in people's bodies, such as cancers and different diseases that's in the human body. Just recently, even cancer has been declared to be a fourth dimension disease. Listen, all demons travel in the fourth dimension. That's the part they travel. That's the door that was opened. Amen? That let them in. But remember, God's got to come through there too. Then it's another dimension. Sure, it's demonology. Every disease. He didn't say just cancer. Every disease is a fourth dimension disease, the beginning of it. Now let's read number seven real quick. Questions and answers on the seals. This is one where part of that I was reading today. Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian, because you see, you take yourself away from God. Now what's he doing? He's went through six seals. Wake up! He's went through six seals and he's getting ready to preach the seventh seal, and he has questions and answers. He knows they're not getting it. Okay? He knows they're not getting it because of the questions they asked about pantyhose and pajamas to bed when he's supposed to be answering. Nothing, asking no questions but on the seals. He said that about three times. No question. Only stick. And should women cut her hair? Should women wear pajamas to bed? You know what? He had a whole lot more patience than I did. He answered every one of them. and took the whole time to answer every one of them. Okay? Just saying. Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian, because you see, you take yourself away from God. If you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day. You remember there's no impersonation like there was of the other two, see? The first and second pull. So that's as far as you should know. Now just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room. And there's something here, there's actual in this room, look, watch what he says, angels, voice of God.
Amen.
You know what he's telling them? He said, if you can hear what I'm saying, it's God speaking to you.
Exactly right.
Straight to you, not through somebody else, it's speaking straight to you to get the revelation, and they didn't get it. But how do you can't, if you can't hear the natural voice, look, if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Wow. He cut them to the bone and they didn't even know it. But he was gracious. That was a gracious man to do that, because he knew it wasn't for them, because later on he'll tell you it's gone from you. It's not even for you. All right? For that group of people, but it is for us. Now you might make believe that somebody is singing this certain song that might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal, there he is again, that it's supposed to strike, what's he telling them? The right crystal's not there yet. That's what he's saying. Because if it had been there, they would have heard the voice of God, and they would have got the revelation. That's why he said it wasn't for them. When it strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean? Now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now? All right. What was he telling them? The right crystal's not here yet. You've got a crystal. You have picked up the voice of God you need for your day. You've picked up that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've picked up that you need to live right, that you need to try maybe to go up the statue of perfect man. But these seals are not open to you. But where are the crystals? I'm one, okay? I'm one. Y'all can leave your hand down all you want. Leave your hand down because you don't believe it. I'm one of those crystals.
Right.
I was 3 years old. I was still sucking a bottle. But you know what? I had representation. So did you. Some of your parents weren't even born in 1963. But you had representation that the right crystal was coming. And it would be here tonight. If you don't get excited by that, then there's just really nothing. If you don't see how that, absolutely. If you don't see predestination right though, your head will be this big. I was just always something. There ain't no way I can get out of it. I'm just right here. I was born and bred for it. You be careful. Because I was born in sin. I was a sinner. Doomed and on my way to hell. But you know what? God gave me an angel. Because back before time, he saw me want it. He saw me in 1997. He saw me want it. I was done with all them other things I was dealing with. I had been successful. I had a wonderful wife, still more wonderful now than ever. A couple of kids, and I didn't have a grandkid yet. Yes, that girl right back there. But you know what? I didn't have Jesus Christ. But there was a crystal that came to me about 6 months later. In Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where I'm going tomorrow, this weekend, on Lake Malone, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He brought that crystal. Sure, I could hear. I could hear the different voices. I could tell you about serpent seed. I knew what happened in the garden. You didn't have to tell me, but Brother Bram said, that's just the ability to read. I can read where it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. That wasn't something that just got added after you got born again.
Right.
Why? It always was there. And then when that always was crystal met you at your day of your new birth, the two omnipotents met. Oh, come on, people. Brother Brown said, when two omnipotents meet, when that Holy Ghost had come from the mind of God and come down and filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got a crystal inserted inside of you that nobody else gets that kind of crystal. Because that crystal might not be a preacher crystal. It might be a teacher. That crystal might be just a good housewife. That crystal might be just a good guy with a lunchbox under his arm going to work. Sitting in the pew and, unlike some of you, say amen. I mean, you know, you can amen a lot of other things. You can amen what we say. But look, now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through what? The true word. See, now your crystal, though, is set for the true word. That's why when you hear false and when you hear error, what happens? Something goes off. In other words, that whatever comes from that other dimension, the true word of God is in here, planted, and then you hear something coming from a different direction, and it hits your crystal, and you know what happens? You know what happens when you turn the dial in the old AM radio? What'd you get if you didn't get a station? That's all you got. Static. And that's what it is. It's static. You can't understand what he's saying. That's why when Bob was preaching that, I was having a hallelujah time. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's your crystal. And it's a crystal that he gave just you. It was cut out of the big stone. Not made by hands. All right, now just for a minute, we're going to cover the fifth dimension, which is hell. Now remember, as we said before, most people think hell is burning at the moment. It is not. There is no such thing as a burning hell at the moment. Okay? It's the fifth dimension, and we're going to read it right here. Look, number 8, present stage of my ministry. Brother Ram says, now the fifth dimension is where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to. The fifth dimension is kind of, well, the horrible dimension. Now this man, when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension. And God is in the seventh dimension. Now then you see the Christian, when he dies, he goes under the altar of God, right into the presence of God, under the altar, and he is at rest. Now at this time, Brother Brown's already been across the curtain of time, because it was 1960 when he went across the curtain of time, so he knows what he's talking about. Paragraph 25. To break it down, when a man has a nightmare, he's not altogether asleep, neither is he awake. He's between sleep and awake, and that's what makes him have a horrible shaking and screaming. How many of you have a nightmare? Can you imagine not waking up from the most horrible nightmare you've ever had? And it just keeps reliving it over and over and over again. Like Brother Bram said, there's no foundation. You just keep dropping. To break it down, when a man has a nightmare, he's not altogether asleep, neither is he awake. He's between sleep and awake, and that's what makes him have a horrible shaking and screaming, because he's not asleep, he's not awake. To that shows where a man goes when he dies unconverted. He's lived his time up, he's dead on earth, and he cannot go into the presence of God because he's not fit to go there without the blood, and he's caught. He cannot come back to earth because his time's finished here on earth, and he's caught between, and he's in a nightmare, see? He can't go in the presence of God to rest. He can't come back to earth because his time's up. He's in a nightmare, and there he stays like Cain until the day of judgment. A horrible thing to be in. Number 9, the countdown. Then I think the fifth dimension is where the sinner dies, where he goes. Now, I think that when the sinner dies, he goes into this fourth dimension. You know he means fifth. Notice, the first thing, he cannot go into the presence of God because he's a sinner. His time's up on earth. If I could type it for you, it's like trying to go to sleep and you're in a nightmare. Hideous things. You're screaming. You're just all, that's the state of the wicked dead. He cannot go into the presence of God because he's a sinner. He cannot return back to earth because his time's up. And he's caught between the two things in the fifth dimension. He's got a soul, and he cannot go into the presence of God because it's not covered by the blood. He's a sinner. He cannot wake himself up because his time's up on earth. So there he is in a tormented nightmare. It's just because we're told, because the two consciences are passing, sub and first conscious, and it catches between, and that's the nightmare. And when a sinner dies, he's caught with his soul between earth and hell in a nightmare. There he stands. Let's read 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Because remember, he walked down there to the spirits in prison. They weren't burning. They were in hell, but they weren't burning. He went down there and talked to the devil, preached to the souls that were in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In other words, eight souls went across. 7 million and 7 billion people died. They say it's as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. So there were 7 billion people died, and they're all down in this one place called hell, or place, fifth dimension. Look at number 10, souls in prison. Now Jesus, after he had finished his ministry, preached to those souls that were unsavable, that cannot ever be saved. Now listen, why can you say, well, that seems like predestined, that means he pulled them through a tube. No, they made a decision. And he knew they would make that decision, therefore he could do what he did to be a righteous judge. Now the Bible tells us that he went and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not. When mercy was given, look, you say, oh, they didn't have a chance. See, it looks like they were unsavable, could never be saved. But look, watch this. When mercy was given to them, they spurned it. And now they're waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time that must have been. Oh, I wish there was some way I would shake the world with that to let them see what the reality is. Souls in prison again, paragraph 108. But after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on, because the last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell that could not be forgiven. I have clearly read that from the Bible here, from 2 Peter, see, he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, which is hell locked up until the day of judgment. Because you see, the judgment isn't now. There's no burning hell now. Somebody tell you the guy is in burning hell now, that's wrong. And why? Let me ask you, you see what he said. Because he's a righteous judge. He's got to give them an opportunity to present their case. If they die, they go into this dimension. They're in a place of holding. He's got to resurrect them, bring them back to the white throne judgment, and be judged for the sin that they did. But they got to all stand judgment. That makes him a righteous judge. That's wrong. A judge of this earth is just enough to never condemn a man until he's brought to trial. And God will never throw a man into the fiery furnace until first he is condemned by God's own laws. He rejected mercy, so you see, he first has to have a trial, and the trial is the great white throne judgment, but now he's in a place called a prison house. As I saw the vision of both places by the grace of God, I say this not to be sacrilegious, and if I'm wrong, God forgive me, I believe I've been in both places. And I seen the redeemed, the blessed, I seen the lost, and where they were at, and that's why I stand as your brother today to warn you to flee from that downward path. Don't you ever go that road. Glorify Jesus. Let's read this one and then we'll stop right here. Say, here is a line like this, and in there is all mortals. On this side or that side, men are influenced by one side. This side comes from God. This side comes from the devil. Now let's just take it, a great conglomeration of blackness and guilty and muck and sin and divisiveness of this world. Every once in a while, you'll see a little white spot. That's a Christian. Like a light. Now, those that are in darkness are influenced from beneath. Those that are lights are influenced from above. Now, when you leave either one of these channels, in other words, when you leave this world, or any one of these channels, you go into the realm of spirit. This is the mortal realm, the dimension that we live in now. Because, see, the fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and sixth dimension are all different worlds. Okay? Now, if you go this way, listen close. If you go this way, the first dimension is the spirit of the dead. Now, remember, you gotta remember, he's in that fifth dimension, telling you there's a dimension inside of a dimension. Because the first dimension is clearly not hell. Sometimes we may think that it is. But the first three dimensions are time, light, and matter. But the first dimension in the spirit world is the spirit of the dead. Peter spoke of it in prison, that repented not by the long suffering of the days of Noah. The wicked, unregenerated man, when he dies, his spirit goes into this realm. Look. The next round below that is demons. The next round below that is hell. So there's different stages, even in the fifth dimension. Where are you going to put the foolish virgin? Where are you going to put the cup of water in my name? You're going to put them in a different place because they're not going to be in that place, I don't think. He said that's the unsaved people, the people that are unsavable. In other words, they've already made their choice, so they're unsavable. But that's your fourth and fifth dimension. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians come. And we'll look next time we speak, we'll talk about the sixth dimension. We know more about it than any of it because we have a connection to it. Because that's the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got part of it here. That's why you go there. The reason the unsavable don't go there is they have no connection. They have no part. Their part's down here. They've lived their time. Listen, if you're not saved tonight, you better check yourself. I just told you, this is real. This is not something fairy tale. Everybody's going to have to give an account about what they do, except the redeemed, and we're still going to have to give an account of some of the things that we do as Christians, because sometimes we need a little slap on the hand. But it's not to put us in this hell. It's not to put us in this fifth dimension. But if you die tonight and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's where you're going. And you're going to stay there until the judgment happens. And guess what? The dead live not for 1,000 years. You got an extra 1,000 years that you're going to have to stay dead. Because we're going to be redeemed. We're going to rise. And we're going to walk through that dimension. And all the sinner dead's got to stay dead for another 1,000 years past until the white throne judgment. But thank God he's given us a hiding place. He's give us a place we can go.
Amen.
And if you've already went there, you're very familiar with it. Amen. That's why when Brother Brandon went across the curtain of time, he was pretty familiar with where he was at. He was kind of had a few questions because he's looking at his kookaburra laying on the ground. I mean, looking at his body. Yeah, Brother Brandon was a kookaburra. Don't worry. We were all kookaburras. Okay? All born in sin.
Amen.
There was only one wheat plant that was born a wheat plant, and that was Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Everybody got that? But he still had what? He took on your kookaburra.
Right.
He took on your sin.
Sure did.
And died for me and you.
Right.
Let's turn around and give it back to him. Let's give him the glory. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Been redeemed together in
the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in,
I will raise the heavenly in that city in the sky
when the redeemed. Think about it. We can sing that song and no one else can sing that. When the redeemed are gathering in, we're washed like snow. You know what? You've already got your robe if you're born again. You ain't got one hanging up somewhere. You already got it. When the redeemed are gathering in, sing it to him. Great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in. But remember, where are you redeemed? You're not going to wait to get redeemed there. You got to get redeemed here to take you there. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, where washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed, think about it, are gathering in.
Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot sing that song. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. I'm washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet.
When the redeemed
are gathering in,
be blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed Our God, sing it to him. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we're washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. You know, a part of that song, we always know that. We know and hear it. It says the angels all will listen. You know, they're going to have to stand back and watch a group of people. See, now these angels, they can move. They can move through all dimensions. They're uninhibited. Satan sends them out and God sends them out. So be careful. But they go through all the dimensions. But you know what? When they come to that time, when we walk down that street and we go into that city, I believe they're just going to have to line the streets. And they're going to stand there with their arms folded and they're going to shake their head and wonder, what are these people singing about? We don't know what, we never went through any of that. We didn't have a bill that we missed or a job interview that we didn't get or just think about anything in life. That's part of redemption. Your life is a part of the plan of God. Amen. Your whole life. You say, oh, when I was a sinner, yeah, that was part of it. Sure. It gives you purpose. Amen. And as Brother Brown says, it gives God purpose to have this kind of plan.
Right.
And the plan that he had was to include me and you.
Right.
And each one of us have that crystal inside of us. If you're born again tonight, you have that crystal, that receptor that you can receive from God where the guy sitting beside you cannot, or the lady sitting beside you at the grocery store or an airplane or on a bus, and they're just thinking about all the evil stuff and all the how her second wife and third husband and all this different stuff, and here you're sitting there going, when to redeem are gathering in, and they're going, redeemed? What do you mean? And you know what? Turn around and talk to them about it. Tell them how God saved your soul.
Right.
Tell them how your fire got lit, Brother Brown said. If you can't do anything, just tell them what? Tell them how you got a new crystal.
Right.
Go back and explain to them. Say, hey, you remember, you know, the old Victrola 45s, you know, you had to put the needle in the end of it, and that needle picked up that. But without that needle,
right,
it just went... Right? And that's the way sometimes we go through this earth. And when we were not born again, our whole life was... Right? But when God stuck that crystal in us, we knew who he was talking to and we knew what he was talking about. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the purpose that we have here. And I pray that every one of us will see our purpose. We'll see our destination, Lord. And that you'll touch each one of us, Lord, in our natural body, but also, Lord, in our spiritual body, we all need help. We all need a little more nourishment from you, Lord. So as we go home, Lord, and as the wheels turn down the highways, Lord, we can discuss with our spouse or our children or even just talk to you, Lord, about the things that God, that you have shown us, Lord, in the time that we've been on this earth. Thank you, Father, for the 61 years you've given me, Lord. I'm sorry I wasted half of it, but you knew that. So Lord, I pray that we all, even as young adults, that Lord, that you'll grab them instead of letting Satan take a hold of them, Lord, you'll grab them. And they'll become young Christians, Lord, with virgin minds that they can hear from you, Father. And Lord, may we, even as the older adults, Lord, we're all virgins in your eyes. We're all the children of God. We're all your bride. And thank you for even asking us to be your bride. Just giving us an opportunity to make a choice. We thank you for that, Lord. We know that many people have spurned that and turned it down over the years. Millions and billions of people have. But thank you, Father, that you met us one night, one day, one afternoon, one evening, one morning, middle of the night. And you said, be my child. Be my lover. And we accepted you into our heart. And now pray, Lord, that we walk, Lord, according to your will. Bless our pastor. Keep him safe, Lord. Be with Brother Aaron, Lord, next Sunday. Be with us as we travel to Brother Richard Hyatt's, Lord, this weekend. Be with Brother Trevor as he comes to be with us next Sunday. Be with each one of us, Lord. You give us a purpose, Lord. I pray that we'll find out what that purpose is and get in it. Find out what part of the play that we're supposed to play, Lord, and get in it. And play our part and get out of here. Father, we thank you for all things. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when redeemed. Yeah. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in, I'm washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when redeemed.